We're kind of going a little bit on the fly this morning because of an illness in the congregation with Liz McVeigh, or her mother, rather, I hear. So we're just kind of all taking part and doing what we can do, and sometimes some surprises come along. So, Brett, you got off easy, let me tell you. I've done children's sermons for years and years and years, and usually the kids are not quite that cooperative. So, but it was great. Thank you very much. Our Old Testament scripture reading for this morning comes from the first book of the Kings. It tells of the story of the end of David's life and David's successor along the way. It talks about the greatest king of Israel passing away, people mourning, but then quickly getting to what they need to do, turning to God to choose a successor. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense in the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him the great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in his place of my father David. And although I am only a little child, I do not know how to come in, to go out, or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people, whom you have chosen a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this people, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been seen before, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honor and all of your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." And turning to the epistles, to the letter to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading of his most holy word. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've heard it said that the first time you go to a new place, you're a guest. The second time, you become part of the family. I hope I'm a part of the family here at the church this morning, for it's nice to be back with you after being here just 2 weeks ago. I hope, once again, that Pastor Bob is having an enjoyable vacation and time away, that it's refreshing and renewing to him, and that not only he benefits from it, but that the congregation benefits from it as well. There are some people who have looked at me and told me that I am denominationally confused. I prefer to think myself as ecumenical. For, as I've said before, I'm kind of Presbyterian and Methodist and Lutheran. I've forayed into the different churches, not of my own choice always, but because circumstances led me there. But above all, I believe that I am, as we all are, called to be Christian, God's people, ones who follow after God and seek God's guidance and wisdom. Bad news to the young people, it's getting to be the end of August. And that can only mean one thing. School's about to start. And that's not only bad news to the young people, but for any of you who are teachers as well, it's going to happen before long. I saw in the paper or on the news the other night that I believe the Harrisburg schools start Monday. Some of the other schools will be starting over the next couple of weeks. But the time is coming to learn, to share, to do, for new things to happen. Robert Fulghum, in a book from my youth, said, "Everything I know, I learned in kindergarten. Everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten." And with apologies to Fulghum, although I find that to be very true along the way, one of the things that I have been convinced of throughout my life is that all of us need to be lifelong learners. Anybody who works in a garden will tell you, if something stops growing, it's dead. It dies. And so it is with those of us, whether we're children, teens, adults, senior citizens. No matter where we fall on the spectrum, if we stop learning, we're dead. We stagnate. Not necessarily our physical bodies, but certainly our mental capacities, and to me also our spiritual selves, if we don't learn new things. I was one of the fortunate people, in my mind anyhow, to be able to go right through high school to college, college to seminary, and seminary out into the real world. I was 23 years old before I finally finished my formal education. And I'll tell you, that first fall was a real rude awakening to me. I used to have dreams that I hadn't passed one of my courses somewhere along the way and was being called back to take another test. I used to have dreams that I belonged somewhere else in school instead of doing what I was doing or what God had me to do. I entered the church in Gouldsboro, Pennsylvania, down south of Scranton, as a 23-year-old, sure that I knew just about everything I needed to know, and fortunately met up with a congregation who assured me that I didn't, because they were going to teach me some lessons. Now, in the United Methodist Church, especially early on in your ministry, you often don't spend a whole lot of time in any one church. You usually move along for a while. And they were convinced that what they needed to do was get me ready for the next step to move along. I don't know whether that was because they thought I had potential or because they wanted to get rid of me. But they taught me some very, very valuable lessons at that point in time. It was about that time that we used to, in the United Methodist Church, do a week's vacation or a week's continuing education every summer, and we'd go to Albright College over in Reading. We'd study for a week. We'd bring in four or five leading teachers and theologians from across denominations to kind of impart some wisdom and get our minds back to what we needed to learn. One of the people that they brought in was a gentleman named Christer Stendahl. Now, Stendahl was a leading Lutheran theologian, extremely brilliant. I tried reading his theological works and couldn't make heads or tails of them sometimes, but he was brilliant. And his lectures were very good, and down to earth, he talked to us. Stendahl was also in his 90s at this point in time, and I was part of the planning committee for the event, so somebody said to me, you know, what you need to do is be with him a little bit. And I soon learned what they meant. Stendahl was brilliant, lectured brilliantly, wrote brilliantly, but if we tried to let him get from one building to another, he couldn't do it. He'd get lost. He forgot where he was going. That's not only a sign of age sometimes, but it's a sign of a certain kind of mindset sometimes that can deal with brilliant intellectual concepts, but sometimes has very little common sense or down-to-earth knowledge and wisdom. I don't think Stendahl was always like that. Please don't get me wrong. And like I said, I love to learn from him. But I learned at that point in time that there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And that is where some of our lifelong learning comes in. When we're in elementary school, when we're in Sunday school in the lower grades, most of what we learn is by what they call rote, or repetition. You memorize a Bible verse, and then you spit it back to the teacher. You tell them what they told you. You read through it. You learn it. You memorize it. But it is my observation that a lot of times you have no idea what it means. We learn that God loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know. One of the favorite songs across denominational lines. But that's one of those wonderful things that you can spend a whole lifetime learning what it really means. For God's love is new every day. We learn new things about God's love every day. Hopefully we experience God's love in different ways every day. And so it is, I think, as we ourselves grow in wisdom and knowledge throughout our years. The search for wisdom is a lot like the search for knowledge. It involves some of the same kinds of things. But wisdom really very much involves taking the knowledge that you've learned and learning how to apply it in life situations, or how to connect things together. When we first hear that 2 and 2 are 4, and then we hear that 1 and 3 are also 4, we can become rather confused. Those two things don't seem to go together on the surface necessarily. But when we begin to see the whole idea of math as it works together, we can begin to understand that sometimes things can be different but the same. By the way, that's one of the most valuable lessons I've learned from Sesame Street through the years too, that things can be different and yet the same. I have 2 children. They're both grown now. I have 4 grandchildren. I had to remember here for a minute. And they still, my grandchildren, watch Sesame Street and learn from Sesame Street and think it's wonderful. That same television show that's been around when my children were young. Not when I was young necessarily, but it came after that. But I learned from with them and from them all of those kinds of things. Knowledge, hopefully, is something that we continue to gather as we grow through our years. But wisdom is hopefully something that we also continue to gather as we grow through our years. And so it was with King Solomon as he took over the reign from his father David. We don't know exactly how old Solomon was. We speculate. He says he was but a boy. And when he turns to God as God asks him what he can do for him, I'm sure his mind immediately raced to, well, I'd like to be rich. I'd like to live a long time. I'd like to be powerful. But instead, what he asks for is the wisdom to discern what it is that God has in store for him. And maybe that's what all of us need to learn in our lives involves wisdom. That what we are to do is what God has in store for us. However, that doesn't mean that we only learn that once. Because sometimes we have to learn that over and over and over again in order for us to truly learn the lesson of wisdom. When I was younger, I was pretty healthy for the most part. I was very active. I was a volunteer firefighter. I used to do lots of interesting things, carry heavy things, move heavy things. About 10 years ago, I began to have some issues with my legs. And when the doctor first told me that I needed to have an amputation, I thought my life was over. I couldn't possibly see what else I could do from there because everything I had ever done was gone. Well, not everything, but all the lifting, all the hauling, all the activity, all the was gone. And when I heard that I had to have my second leg amputated, I really thought that that was the end for me. But that was 8 years ago now. I have had some very good people working with me, giving me knowledge of how to, well, the first thing they made me do was get down on the floor without my prostheses on and told me to figure out how to get up and walked away for a few minutes so I could learn, so I could figure it out and do it. And since then, I've learned that I can do a lot of other things. I'm still a little shaky on my legs sometimes, and probably that's a little evident, but I've learned that I can continue to do what I've done all of my adult life. Work with people in the church, work with the God that I vowed to serve and love, that it's not the end of what I can do. Now, admittedly, I have to do it in a different way. And that's been going on for a while. But that's okay. But every once in a while, I still think that I can't do what I want to do. Can't do what I once did. And I begin to get myself in the cycle of thinking that because I can't do what I used to do, I'm not happy. But then I remember what I can do. And that, to me, is some of the wisdom that God imparts to me as I grow older. Some of the things that I've learned. I've had the knowledge, but not necessarily the wisdom of how to use it. And I don't claim to be done with that either, because there are still days that I wonder. Still days that I continue to grow and continue to move forward. So we're done with our formal education, many of us. Not all of us, but many of us. We move into the adult world, we get jobs, we learn how to do our jobs, we continue to learn and to grow on how to do different kinds of things. But throughout our adult life and our youth, we still need to keep that focus on what it is that God would have us to do and learn the things that God has in store for us along the way. Not all people see the will of God in exactly the same way. And that's one of the wisdom parts that we need to learn. Not everybody sees God's will the way I see it or the way you see it. And that doesn't necessarily make one of us wrong and one of us right, because God's will for each of us is different. If we will listen, if we will learn, if we will move on, there is no step-by-step instruction manual. The Bible is a wonderful guide. It really is. But it doesn't offer us step-by-step instructions all the time. Rather, it tells us, listen to God. Listen to yourself. Listen to those around you. Listen to what is going on. Paul offers us some advice on how to be lifelong learners with God throughout his writings in the New Testament. First thing he says, give thanks to God for all of his gifts. Because if we forget to do that, then we're usually pretty much in trouble. Or at least I find that in my own life. If I forget to thank God for what I have and want to have something else, become envious, become desiring, not only do I break one of the Ten Commandments, but I find myself battling in my own mind with myself. And I think sometimes with God. Be subject to one another. Not because the law says so, but rather for the sake of Christ. Be willing to submit to one another as appropriate. And remember that Christ is in charge. And God gives us life. Follow the commandments and the teachings. They haven't changed over the years. Our understanding sometimes changes, but the commandments and teachings of God are still the same. It's part of our lifelong learning to interpret what God has given, to take from it our own understanding of what is there. And above all, seek after God's will for life. If we remember to do that, we will have no choice but to learn and to grow and to become hopefully more God's people and hopefully in the process also better people. It's been a wonderful life to this point in time. I'm looking forward to some more years along the way. But only if I can keep exploring and learning and not let myself get in the way of what God wants me to do and tells me to do. Each and every one of us, no matter how old we are, from our infancy to our toddler years to our teenage years to our young adulthood to our older adulthood to our oldest adulthood, if you will, need to keep learning. Keep growing. Keep listening. I took a year off from the church to do clinical pastoral education up at Hershey Medical Center, CPE. And one of the first things that we learned to do is called active listening, where we're not so busy thinking about what we're going to say in response to someone else, but rather letting them speak, hearing them, and then going through and even rephrasing them if we need to, but so that we can hear what it is that they really want to say. It is my contention that we need to do that with God, too. We don't need to be so busy telling God, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. We need to listen, understand, and then perhaps move on from that place to act as God's child, to act as God would have us to do in wisdom and in knowledge. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, there are lessons that we need to learn, no matter how young or old. We like to think that we know it all, but you often remind us that we don't, as well as other people reminding us that we don't. Watch over with us, Help us to grow. Help us to learn. Help us to share. Help us to move. And, O Lord, above all, keep us in love with you and with each other and growing in your Spirit. Amen.